Now, what are the benefits and success of composite insurance agency? A composite insurance agent can increase his or her revenue through commission for sale of insurance policy by selling both life and general, because he can sell multiple products. He can earn more commission on the higher volume of business acquired. In order to earn a larger commission on the premium, the agent must sell more policies. And for selling more policies, the agent must be well-versed with the knowledge of all insurance products and capable of selling the insurance policies as per the prospect's needs. So he just cannot have a list of wide range of products, but he should have the knack of selling the right product for the right customer. Right skills and effective communication can help a lot to increase the commission on premium by increasing the volumes of business. And that is the big benefit and success of a composite insurance agent. The next type of insurance intermediary is the insurance broker. When we saw an individual agent, they can sell insurance policies of only one broker. When we talk about an insurance broker, they can represent more than one insurance company. So an insurance broker markets and sells insurance products by representing more than one insurance company. Insurance brokers are required to have board approved policy on the manner of soliciting insurance policy. The board approved policy should also contain an approach on multiple types, types of products sold, mode of solicitation, grievance redressal mechanism, reporting requirements, and should be reviewed at least once in 3 years. So these are the specific requirements when we talk in terms of an insurance broker. Brokers assist the prospects or the clients in choosing from insurance products by presenting them with alternatives in terms of the insurers and the products. The brokers obtain the quotes from various insurers they are representing, so they have lots of information in front of them, and based on that, what is right for the customer is guided to the prospects or the clients in determining the best fit policy from an insurance product. So the biggest advantage a prospect will have is to get a look at different options available with the broker in comparison to the limited options available with an insurance agent. A broker is an independent professional and an expert in insurance matter. A broker assesses the specific insurance requirements of his prospects or clients. He appraises the risk and recommends a suitable insurance cover for the client. An insurance broker is required to obtain a written mandate from the client to offer risk management services and keep a record of risk management services offered to the client. So these are certain obligations put on the broker while doing his broking business in insurance. An insurance broker may engage an external expert because he may not be expert in everything for providing guidance. And for that reason, an insurance broker may engage an external expert or specialist for undertaking the risk management services or such other similar services. However, the insurance broker will be responsible for all the acts of the external experts for undertaking the risk management services. So this responsibility is with the broker, even though he may engage external experts or specialists. Since the broker is doing such a big thing for the client, a broker is also entitled for a fee. An insurance broker may charge a fee to the client for the services provided to the client. However, the insurance broker cannot receive both the remuneration and reward as stipulated under the IRDAI payment of commission or remuneration or reward to the insurance agents and insurance intermediaries regulation 2016. and fees for the same risk management services as given in Regulation 2, Subsection 1, Subsection 2. So rewards and remuneration and fees both cannot be received. He may decide which he opts for. However, the underlining factor is the broker is entitled for some sort of consideration in the form of a fee or a remuneration and reward for offering his services to the client. Now, when we talk about the regulations, insurance brokers are regulated by IRDAI, Insurance Brokers Regulation 2018, and they are supposed to bring in the capital based on the category to which they belong. For example, in case of a direct broker, the capital requirement is rupees 75 lakhs. In case of a reinsurance broker, the capital requirement is rupees 400 lakhs. In case of a composite broker, the capital requirement is rupees 500 lakhs. Now, we had mentioned different categories for bringing capital requirements. We can categorize insurance brokers into direct broker life, direct broker general, direct broker life in general, the reinsurance broker and the composite broker. A certificate of registration issued by IRDAI shall be valid for a period of 3 years from the date of issue, which means an applicant needs to apply to IRDAI, and once the certificate of registration is granted by IRDAI, it shall be valid for a period of 3 years from the date of issue. The functions of the direct broker, reinsurance broker, compliance broker are outlined in Schedule 1, Form A of IRDAI Insurance Brokers Regulations 2018. So there is absolute clarity as to what is the role between each type of broker. Like we saw the code of conduct for the insurance agents, a broker also needs to follow code of conduct which is mentioned under Insurance Regulatory and Development Authority of India, Insurance Brokers Regulations 2018. This code of conduct are further categorized into various subcategories such as conduct in matters relating to client relationships, conduct in matters relating to the sales practices, conduct in relation to the furnishing of information, conduct in relation to explanation of insurance contract, conduct in relation to renewal of policies, conduct in relation to claim by the clients, conduct in relation to the receipts of complaints, conduct in relation to the documentation, conduct in relation to advertising, conduct in matters relating to receipt of remuneration, conduct in relation to matters relating to training, information and education common to direct and reinsurance broker. So these are all the different subcategories. Conduct in relation to matters relating to training is separate, and information and education common to direct and reinsurance brokers. So that is all together. So we can see different types of code of conducts. Let me go through once again all of them. Matters relating to clients' relationships, sales practices, information, then expansion, furnishing of information, explanation of insurance contract, renewal of policies, claim by the client, receipt of complaint, documentation, advertising, receipt of remuneration, training, information and education common to direct and insurance, reinsurance brokers. Now let us look at surveyors and loss assessors. This intermediary do not directly participate in acquiring business, but provide very, very important support service. Surveyors and loss assessors provide their services to the general insurance company for undertaking a claim survey and evaluation of loss or damage suffered by an insured asset covered under a general insurance claim. So the main service is providing evaluation of the loss or damage suffered by an insured asset. The main purpose of assessment is to estimate the quantum of loss in a general insurance policy claim, so that when a claim is lodged by the insured with an insurance policy, a specifically trained person for estimating the quantum of loss provides a report and this is acceptable to the insurance company as well as to the insured, and that basis the insurance company can decide to settle the claim of the insured, in specifically in case of a general insurance policy. The surveyors and losses are generally appointed in case of a general insurance policy or the non-life insurance policy. Surveyors and loss assessors are regulated by Insurance Regulatory and Development Authority of India, Insurance Surveyors and Loss Assessor Regulation 2015, which are further amended by the Insurance Regulatory and Development Authority of India, Insurance Surveyors and Loss Assessors Amendment Regulations 2020. So whenever we need to understand the provisions, we need to get ourselves updated with the latest provisions issued, made by the IRDAI. Now let us look at the different types of surveyors and loss assessors. We have already seen the main authority to grant license is the IRDAI. IRDAI can grant license to eligible persons to act as surveyors and loss assessors. Insurance Regulatory and Development Authority of India, Insurance Surveyors and Loss Assessors Regulations 2015 states that surveyors and loss assessors shall be appointed either by insurers or insured to assess the loss under a policy of insurance in respect of motor insurance above rupees 50,000, other than motor insurance above rupees 1 lakh. So this limit criteria needs to be followed for appointment of and surveyor and loss assessor. Now what are the duties of the licensed surveyor and loss assessors? Here again some examples from IRDAI, Insurance Surveyors and Loss Assessor Regulations 2015, amended by IRDAI, Insurance Surveyors and Loss Assessor Amendment Regulations 2020. Number one, to investigate, manage, quantify, validate and deal with the losses, whether insured or not, arising from any contingency, and report thereon to the insurer or insured as the case may be. Some more examples of the duties: to carry out the said work with competence, objectivity and professional integrity and strictly adhere to the code of conduct, maintaining confidentiality, neutrality without jeopardizing the liability of the insurer and claim of the insured, conducting inspection and re-inspection of the property in question suffering a loss, estimating, measuring and determining the quantum and description of the subject under the loss. Some more duties can be commenting on, some more duties are rather commenting on the admissibility of the claim and assessing the liability of the insurer as per the policy terms and conditions, advising the insurer and the insured about the loss minimization, loss control, security and safety measures wherever appropriate to avoid further losses, giving reasons for repudiation of claim in case the claim is not covered by the policy terms and conditions. Some more examples now about the code of conduct of the surveyors and loss assessors and responsible insurers. The previous examples were of the duties. Now let us see what is the code of conduct of the surveyors and loss assessors and responsibilities of the insurers. Here again some examples from IRDAI, insurers and insurance surveyors and loss assessors regulations 2015. Amended by IRDAI, Insurance Surveyors and Loss Assessors Amendment Regulations 2020. Number one, behave ethically with integrity in professional pursuits. Number two, strive for objectivity in professional and business judgment. Number three, act impartially when acting on instructions from an insurer in relation to a policyholder's claim under a policy issued by that answer. Number four, not accept any direct or indirect benefits in any manner whatsoever other than the fee agreed upon for insurance survey and loss assessment. Number five, carry out professional work with due diligence, care, skill, and with proper regard to the technical and professional standards expected of him or her. Another few examples: keep himself updated with all the developments relative to the professional practice and work only as surveyor and loss assessor in insurance business and not undertake any business advisory or consultancy service or work which could give rise to conflict of interest. So these are some of the code of conducts for the surveyor and loss assessors and the responsibility of insurer. Now let us move to the next intermediary, a very important intermediary of the modern times, an extended arm of the insurer. That's a third party administrator, properly known as a TPA. A third party administrator means a company registered with IRDAI and engaged by an insurer for a fee mentioned in the health service agreement, which means there is an agreement between a TPA and insurer specifically for providing health services. A TPA can provide health services to more than one insurer. However, a TPA shall not engage itself in any other business. So he has that liberty of providing health services to more than one insurer, but he cannot engage itself in any other business. Every TPA shall have a chief medical officer, because when we talk health services, a chief medical officer is required, and this chief medical officer should be entitled to practice medicine with its jurisdiction. Only then it would be easy for a TPA to make assessment or services for health services. The chief executive officer or the chief administrative officer shall be responsible for the day-to-day administration of the affairs of the TPA and for ensuring the compliance of regulatory requirements. So over and above the chief medical officer, there is a designation of a CEO or a CAO who shall be responsible for the day-to-day administration of the affairs of the TPA and for ensuring the compliance of the regulatory requirements. Just like most of the intermediary, a TPA also needs registration with IRDAI. A TPA has to obtain a valid certificate of registration from IRDAI before commencing services or rendering health services. The certificate of registration issued by IRDAI to a TPA shall remain in force for a period of 3 years. A TPA shall maintain minimum paid-up equity share capital of not less than rupees 4 crores, and the net worth of a TPA shall at no time during the period of registration fall below rupees 1 crore. So these are certain monetary financial requirements also to be complied by a TPA, which establishes its financial strength. An insurer may engage more than one TPA for providing health services to the policyholders or the claimants. The policyholder also can choose a TPA from amongst the TPAs that are engaged by insurer for a given insurance product. So this gives more flexibility and convenience for the policyholders. Insurers can have more than one TPA, and a policyholder can choose amongst them any TPA of his choice from amongst the list of TPAs engaged by the insurer for a given insurance product. Now, what type of health services are provided by the TPA? Number one comes servicing of claims under health insurance policy by way of free authorization of cashless treatment or settlement of claims other than cashless claims or both. Next comes servicing of claims for hospitalization cover, if any, under the personal accident policy and domestic travel policy. Next comes facilitating hiring out of free insurance medical examination in connection with underwriting of health insurance policies. So a TPA has a variety of functions that can be done. Next comes health services, matters of foreign travel policies and health policies issued by Indian insurers covering medical treatment for hospitalization outside India, more specifically in case of travel policies, servicing of health services, matters of travel or health or medical insurance policy issued by the foreign insurer for policyholders who are traveling to India. Then next comes servicing of non-insurance healthcare schemes and any other services as may be mentioned by IRDAI. So a TPA can provide wide range of services, wide range of health services, and these are specifically mentioned into this IRDAI health services. While performing the health services, a TPA shall not directly make payment in respect of claims. He shall not reject or repudiate any of the claims directly. Shall not handle or service claims other than hospitalization cure under personal accident policy. Shall not procure or solicit insurance business directly or indirectly. Shall not offer any service directly to the policyholder or insured to any other person unless such service is in accordance with the terms and conditions of the policy contract and the agreement entered into the terms of these regulations. So these are specific obligations on a TPA that he shall not do specifically this type of health services. Now let us look at some examples of the code of conduct for TPAs. These are from IRDAI TPA Health Services Regulation 2016, Schedule 2, once again amended by IRDAI TPA Health Services Amendment Regulations 2019. Number 1, establish their identity to the insured, claimant, policyholder and that of the insurer with which it was entered into an agreement with the other entities and public. So a TPA has to establish their identity to the insured, claimant, policyholders and that of the insurer with which it has entered into an agreement, other entities and the public. Next, code of conduct, a TPA should disclose its certificate of registration on demand to the insured, policyholder, claimant, prospect, public or to any other entity relating to the services under a policy issued by an insurer. A TPA shall conduct itself or himself in a courteous and a professional manner. A TPA shall have effective grievance management systems in place. So with this, we cover the major points for a TPA. Now let us move to the next intermediary, which we call it as a referral providers. Referral providers do not sell insurance policy, but they have an intention to get insurance policy for their clients. And hence, referral providers provides its clients data to the insurer and the insurer sells policies to the clients of the referral providers. So the basic information is provided by referral providers. The selling part is done by the insurer. Such referral providers may also help the insurer by introducing its clients to the insurer and providing place in its office for use by the insurance employees. The referral providers may also display publicity material about the insurance to help the insurer sell the policies to clients. So referral providers are also important aspect of marketing as well as providing information about the prospects to the insurer. Next important intermediary is specifically originated because of driving of advanced technology into the insurance sector is the concept of a web aggregator. The insurance web aggregators are modern intermediaries created due to the popularization of website. The insurance web aggregators collect, compile, provide curated information about insurance policies of various insurers on its website. So even without going to the offices of different types of insurers, just by visiting a website of web aggregator, you can get information about different insurers offering different types of products on one page itself. and the benefit goes to the prospect policy holder because they can have an easy comparison of structured information in a single page. This comparison is between different insurers offering products. The same products can be compared on different parameters, and the prospect, the policyholder, can take an informed decision. So web aggregator concept is increasing, is having increasing popularity because of its tremendous advantages to the prospect and the policyholder. IRDAI has promoted this novel concept of insurance web aggregator, and we also have Insurance Regulatory and Development Authority of India, Insurance Web Aggregators Regulation 2017. This legislation licenses and regulates insurance web aggregators in India. RD has provided this novel concept of insurance web aggregators, and the main objective of Insurance Regulatory and Development Authority of India, Insurance Web Aggregator Regulation 2017, is to supervise and monitor web aggregator as an insurance intermediary who maintains a website. The existence of website is very important in case of web aggregation, and this website is specifically used for providing an interface to the insurance prospects for price comparison and information of products of different insurers and other related matters. The unique initiative of IRDAI is aimed at increasing the insurance penetration through the e-commerce. So when we talk about e-commerce, you can simply connect with any insurer with just a click of the mouse without visiting the branch of any insurance company. IRDAI grants certificate of registration to insurance web aggregator. Here there are certain financial requirements, like the web aggregator should have a minimum capital contribution of rupees 25 lakhs. The net worth should not fall below 100% of the minimum capital requirements or contribution during the period of certificate of registration. The certificate of registration issued by IRDAI is valid for 3 years from the date of issue. The insurance web aggregator should have a board approved policy on the matters of soliciting insurance products, and including the approach to be followed, having multiple types of products sold, grievance, redressal mechanisms, reporting requirements. Insurance web aggregator can sell life, general and health insurance products through online and distant marketing models. There are certain obligations of insurance web aggregators. Some examples as outlined in Form 5, Obligation of Insurance Web Aggregators of Schedule 7 of Insurance Regulatory and Development Authority of India, Insurance Web Aggregation Regulations 2017. Number one obligation, display certificate of registration obtained from IRDAI and the details of validity of certificate of registration on its website. Number two, obligation, prominently display the names of the insurers with whom it has an agreement to refer the leads in the home page of the website. Number three, obligation of insurance web aggregator, display the list of products that are available for information on its designated website. Display specific information that the details of the prospects who visit their website shall be shared with the insurer for the purposes of soliciting insurance policies, and register as a telemarketer if it is desirous of carrying out telemarketing. If those were the obligations, now let us look at the conduct. The code of conduct of insurance web aggregator outlined in Form W, Code of Conduct for Insurance Web Aggregator of Schedule 8 of the Insurance Regulatory and Development Authority of India, Insurance Web Aggregators Regulations 2017. The first category includes conduct in matters related to the client's relationship. Second, conduct in relation to complaints handling. Third, conduct in matters relating to advertising. Fourth, conduct in matters relating to receipt of remuneration. Fifth, conduct in matters relating to training. So with this, we complete the insurance web aggregator. Now let's look at another intermediary, which is the insurance marketing firm. Insurance marketing firm act as a new distribution channel to boost cross-selling and increasing insurance penetration, especially in smaller cities and towns. The registration is issued by IRDAI under IRDAI Registration of Insurance Marketing Firm Regulations 2015, and registration is valid for 3 years from the date of issue. Applicants should have a net worth of 5 lakhs rupees, and in case of an applicant opts for only one district, which is an aspiration, he will be called as an aspiration district. So let us look at this very clearly. The applicant should have a net worth of rupees 5 lakhs in case an applicant opts for only one district, which is called as an aspirational district. However, the net worth would be rupees 10 lakh rupees for all other cases. So only for one district, net worth of 5 lakhs rupees. In all other cases, the net worth would be 10 lakhs rupees. Here again, IRDAI regulates insurance marketing firms under IRDAI Registration of Insurance Marketing Regulation 2015 to solicit and procure insurance products and distribute other financial products regulated by SEBI, RBI, Post Office, NPS, etc. by employing individuals licensed to market them. So, insurance marketing firms have this possibility of distributing other financial products regulated especially by SEBI, RBI, Post Office, NPS, etc. by employing individuals licensed to market them. Insurance marketing firm can also apply for district-wise registration and are allowed to opt for a maximum of 3 districts within a state. So it's a total different concept, which is very useful for an insurance business. RDI regulates insurance marketing firm, as insurance marketing firm are allowed to deal with 2 insurance companies, each in different lines of business. They can also tie up with Agriculture Insurance Company of India Limited, ASCI, and the ECGC Limited. Both are specialized insurance company. Now let us look to the next intermediary, which we call it as Insurance Self Network Platform, popularly known as the ISNP. Insurance Self Network Platform, popularly known as ISNP. IRDAI has launched an ISNP online portal specifically on isnp.iid.government.in for filing ISNP application. So simplified procedure through a portal. Insurance Self-Service Self-Network Platform, ISNP, can be set up by an applicant with the IRDAI permission. So just one simple permission for setting up an ISNP. ISNP also have code of conduct. Some examples from IRDAI guidelines on insurance e-commerce, that is providing in electronic form a summary of the information provided in the proposal form to the prospect before a contract is concluded. Provide a policyholder with a copy of insurance policy in electronic form that enables reproduction and storing. Provide to the policyholder through the electronic means. Post-sales servicing of insurance policies sourced through it. Submit periodical returns as required by IRDAI. Cooperate in any inquiry conducted by IRDAI. So typical code of conduct required in an e-commerce environment, also applicable in case of insurance e-commerce, specifically specified by IRDAI guidelines. Every application shall undertake not to do certain things in respect of its ISNP. Some examples: conduct its business in a manner prejudicial to the interest of the policyholders, not to be done. Indulge in manipulating the insurance business, not to be done. Indulge in unfair trade practices, not to be done. Accept redirected internet traffic, references from other than market participants, and to the extent permitted. So these are specific no's in case of an ISNP, and they have to follow basis on which the permission is granted by IRDAI, and strictly adhere to it without any contravention or violation. Some more examples: make every applicant shall not undertake, shall undertake not to do, make default in complying with or acts in contravention of any requirements of the IRD Act 1999 or any rule or any regulation or order made or any direction issued thereunder, make a default in complying with any direction issued or order made by IRDAI. So these are some more examples of activities should not be done by an ISNP. Next, we move to the next intermediary, which is point of sale person, popularly known as the POSP. A point of sale person is a unique concept introduced by IRDAI to facilitate the growth of insurance and to enhance the insurance penetration and insurance density. This concept originated from an important observation of IRDAI that a number of persons are involved in undertaking simple and routine activities pertaining to solicitation and marketing of insurance policies, and very little underwriting is required on these products. For example, in motor insurance, personal accident insurance, and even in case of a travel insurance. In such cases, the insurance policy is automatically generated based on the information provided by the prospect, and hence the intervention required by an insurer could be minimal. The training and the examination required for such person would also be of a lesser degree. So this point of sale person originates from a specific observation and best suited in such circumstances. There are two types of persons who solicit and market insurance policies, namely the IRDA guidelines on point of sale persons, non-life and health insurance 2015 states when we have type 1 insurance agent or specified person of corporate agent or broker trained person for soliciting and marketing insurance policies. Yet another in type 1 are insurance salespersons of insurance marketing firm or rural authorized person of CSC, SPV, or authorized persons of web aggregators who can solicit and market all types of insurance policies. Whereas in type 2, we have point of sales persons who can solicit and market only certain pre-underwritten products approved by authority. So point of sale person can solicit only certain pre-underwritten products approved by the IRDAI. Now, who is a point of sale person? Let us understand that. A point of sale person is engaged by an insurance company or an insurance intermediary to solicit and market certain insurance products specified by IRDAI. The IRDAI guidelines on point of sale persons, non-life and health insurance 2015 defines a point of sale person as an individual who possesses the minimum qualification, has undergone training and passed the examination as specified in the IRDA guidelines, and solicits and markets only certain pre-underwritten products approved by IRDAI. So point of sale person, once again, very specific to note, solicits and markets only certain pre-underwritten products approved by IRDAI. Now, which products are solicited and marketed by point of sale person? Here again, the IRDA guidelines on point of sale persons, non-life and health insurers 2015. According to that, the point of sale person can sell only pre-underwritten products such as the motor comprehensive insurance package policy for two-wheelers, private cars, and commercial vehicles. Third-party liability act only policy for two-wheelers, private cars, and commercial vehicles. So these are examples of pre-underwritten products. IRDA guidelines of point of sales, non-life and health insurers. Some more examples are personal accident policy, travel insurance policy, home insurance policy, and any other policy specifically approved by IRDAI. So these are examples specifically for non-life health insurers. For the point of sale persons, which products they can be solicited and marketed. Now, there are different categories of point of sales products in case of a life insurance product. So, IRDAI guidelines on point of sales life insurance product 2016. Let us see some examples of this. First one comes the pure term insurance product without return of premium. Next is the non-linked, non-participating endowment product. Money back feature also allowed. Third is the immediate annuity product. Fourth is any other product category if permitted by RDI. So we have specific products which can be marketed and sold. We have seen the non-life products in the previous slides. In this slide, we are looking for the life insurance product for the point of sale products. Now, let us see once again for the life insurance product as per the IRDA guidelines on point of sale life insurance product 2016, solution and marketing of product allowed to be done through which persons? Number one, point of sale persons life insurance. Number two, individual agents of life insurer. Number three, intermediaries authorized to solicit life insurance products. And number four, insurer directly. Thank you.